This week's parasha is Parashas Vayishlach. And in the parasha, there's a pasuk, very interesting pasuk, Perek Lamed Vav, pasuk Vav. Vayikach Esav es Nasha ves Bona ves Benaisav ves Kol Nefashay Spesai ves Mekneu ves Kol Behemtai ves Kol Kinyonai Asher Rochash Beretz Kanan Vayelech El Eretz Mipnei Yaakov Achiv. After the whole encounter with Yaakov, so Esav basically picks up and goes. He leaves. He takes his wife, he takes his sons, his daughters, everything that he owns, and he packs out of Eretz Canaan, and he went to a land, to Eretz Seir, where he would settle. Mipnei Yaakov Achiv. He did this all because of his brother Yaakov. Very mysterious, cryptic words at the end of the pasuk. What does that mean, that he went because of his brother Yaakov? Rashi says, "Umedrish agada mipnei shtar chayv shal gezeiras ki ger yeh zaracha beretz loylahem hamutal al zare shal Yitzchak omar eilech li mikan ein li chelek b'matana shenostan loy ha'aretz hazayis v'loy b'piroin hashtar." There was a shtar chayv. There was a big contract, a big IOU that was owed for whoever wanted to get Eretz Canaan. If you wanted Eretz Canaan, there was a very deliberate tanai that was given at the Bris Ben Absarim. Yadaya teida ki geryeh zaracha beretz leilam. Your descendants, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram, your descendants will get Eretz Canaan, but first they have to take a little bit of a detour, a 400-year detour, and serve some strange foreign country. They have to be servants to them. And then after all that's over, they're going to get punished, that country, and you will leave Berchosh Gadol, and eventually you'll come, B'dar Ravi, Yashuvu Hena, the fourth generation will return to Eretz Yisrael, and you will conquer Eretz Yisrael, you will have Eretz Yisrael. But until that happens, there's a shtar chayv. You owe, your descendants owe, a big bill to get Eretz Yisrael, and that is a 400-year servitude. Mipnei Yaakov Achiv, Yaakov, his brother, he wanted to sort of, Esav wanted to stick him with this bill. He didn't want to have to pay this bill. He understood that Yitzchak's sons, one of Yitzchak's sons at least, would have to pay this bill. It's sort of like the guy that gets, you know, invited to a, they decide to go together to a restaurant, and they eat a lavish meal together, and everything, they order wine and desserts and everything, bako mikokal, and then right at the end, one of them packs out and, you know, leaves, and leaves the other guy holding the bill, holding the tab. That's sort of what Esav wanted to do. He said, listen, I don't want my descendants to have to go through servitude. And I'm Michael getting Eretz Yisrael, but I don't want to have to pay this IOU. I don't want to have to do this. So I'm not going to put in the efforts of 400 years of servitude, and I will thereby, Mimnei Yaakov Achiv, I'm going to leave it over to you. Gesundheit, it's yours. You can have Eretz Yisrael, but you have to also pay the price of Eretz Yisrael, which is the 400 years of servitude. And I'm going to be leaving. I'm going to Har Seir. Thank you very much. But I am not going to have to pay this Shtar Chayv. And L'chaim L'shalom, I'm going to another land. I'm giving you over the full rights to Eretz Yisrael. And with that, he got up and he left. Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz, the great mashkiach of the Mir Yeshiva, has a set of svarim called Das Torah. We have it in the Beis Medrash. I've given Vadin on this sefer more than 1 year because it's an addictive sefer. It's so real, and it's so current, and it's so practical, and every vart that he has there is solid gold. Rabbi Yerucham actually gave this Torah over to not everybody in the Mir Yeshiva. It was specifically the Bachrim from Western Europe. Mir was, of course, in Eastern Europe, in Poland. but he wanted to give extra attention to the Bachrim that came from Germany, from America. So he had a very exclusive, like chutznik type of chabura, a chabura for people from Chutz Laaretz, as it were. Obviously, not they weren't in Eretz Yisrael, but relative Chutz Laaretz. And he felt that they needed a little bit extra tipo, a little bit extra attention. Maybe they, you know, were lacking in certain basic hashkafas, perhaps. But this is who the shir was given to. And Baruch Hashem, he gave this shir because all the notes of this shir, of this weekly chabura, were transcribed and they were published. And we have this great set of svarim called Das Torah. And in this sefer, Rabbi Yerucham says as follows. He compares this to a person who invests money in a business deal. And as a result of the investment, he's able to come away with a very handsome profit. If I offer you to invest in a business that I'm about to start, let's say I'm starting a high-tech company, I'm starting a something, a very promising business, and I go over to you and I say, you know, the results, the returns on your investment, if you decide to invest with me, will be astronomical. Okay, how much do you want? How much is investment? Well, I'll take, for 10% of my company, it'll cost you $100,000. Okay? You could invest or you could decline. You could take a pass. But if you invest with me and my business goes to the moon, so then you're going to be a very wealthy man. You're going to be a very wealthy man. That $100,000 could turn into $1 billion someday. But if you don't invest with me, so then you can't come back later and say, after my business is a huge success, that, or can I give you the $100,000 now? No, it doesn't work that way. Unfortunately, you have to risk something in order to succeed. No risk, no reward. The reward comes from people that are willing to take a gamble and to risk. That's what every business is about. You have to look into it. And if you feel it's something that has real potential and you feel you could trust the person that's running it and everything is going to be on the uppity up and you decide to put your money in, even though it's a long shot, but if the person that you're investing is in succeeds, then obviously you stand to make tremendous reward. And that's true for everything. And Rabbi Yerucham says that if you invest, then you have the opportunity to make tremendous returns on your investment. But if you don't, then you're not going to be able to come back later and say that you want a return on your and dividends or a return on investment. You didn't make an investment. And Rabbi Yerucham says this is exactly what happened with Yaakov and Esav. Esav had an opportunity to invest. If Esav had said, listen, Yaakov, you know, we both have this shtar chayv that we have to have descendants that will serve in a foreign country, in a strange land for many hundreds of years, and we're both going to invest in it, we'll be partners in it, then Esav would have a rightful share of Eretz Yisrael. The greatest return on investment is Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a land that's so blessed and so holy and so beautiful and so complete with every bracha that there's no greater return on investment than Eretz Yisrael. The only thing is that he wasn't willing to make that investment. And because he walked away from that investment, he forfeited his right to Eretz Yisrael. He was Meichel Eretz Yisrael Esav. He went to Har Seir is his, and that's the way it works in life, says Rabbi Yerucham. He says, in order to profit, you have to be willing to invest. And Yaakov Avinu decided that he would invest, and it was very difficult. We know it's very difficult. He had to go and have his family subjected to servitude for hundreds of years in a strange land in Mitzrayim and Bechemer, Volvenim, Vechalaveda, Basada, brick and mortar and building and switching the jobs of men and women. And we speak about the Seder night, the difficulties that were involved, that were inherent in making this good on this pledge of Kigeria Zaracha. This was the investment that Klal Yisrael did. V'acher ken yetzer b'chosh gadol. And as a return on the investment, the ROI on Yetzias Mitzrayim was that we are zeicha to having a rechosh gadol. We got the Torah out of it, and we got Eretz Yisrael out of it. It was the greatest investment that we could have ever had. This is really what we're celebrating in a way. I'm just thinking as I'm talking, but this is really what Yetzias Mitzrayim, what the Leil HaSeder is all about. We sit at our table, and we're supposed to put out all of our finest china, finest silver, and the best wine, and everything, because we show that we're B'nai Chayrin, we're successful. What did we do? We invested. We invested. We put in the Shibud of Mitzrayim. That was the Shtar Chayv. It was a very difficult Chayv. But we are the beneficiaries of that great investment. Ad Hayyim, Klal Yisrael are Zaycha to tremendous Aisher, to great wealth. And I don't mean just physical wealth and material wealth, spiritual wealth. We got the Torah out of this, and we got Eretz Yisrael out of it, and we got the Beis HaMikdash out of it, and we got all that we have is from that investment. Because we were smart enough to invest and we didn't walk away from that Shtar Chayv, because of that, the returns that we have are beyond anyone's imagination. Life is very much about investing. Everything in life is about investing. When I was taking economics in college, so I remember, I think it's very famous, but the professor was saying that everything in economics is about understanding that everything that you do is one thing versus another. Meaning that we think that if, let's say, I have a $5 bill in my pocket and I go and I buy a donut with it, so I'm just buying a donut. So that's not true. That's not the way it works. If you're buying a donut, that means that you're not buying a newspaper. It means that you're not buying something else. Whatever you're spending, whatever you're putting into something is a choice that we're making whether or not we want to put it into this or put it into that. And that's a decision that we have to make. Do we want to have instant gratification? I want to have something now. Or do I want to invest something and I want to have it grow and work for me, my money? And this is something that, you know, people that are very disciplined could do. If, let's say, I'm working, and this is all good, this is good financial advice for everybody, you're still young. If you're able to, let's say, put aside, let's say, when you start making money, whether or not it's a summer job or you're working, you're tutoring, if you just use the money and you spend it right away on stuff, then that's fine, but, you know, that money is gone. If, let's say, you'd be able to take some of that money and put it away and either just put it in the bank in a CD or you want to put it in the stock market and have the money work for you a little bit and save it, that's a much smarter way of doing things, because you're investing, you're choosing to invest in something that will return dividends that are much, much smarter than just spending it and the money being gone. And these are choices that we make. Do we want to have the instant gratification of having something today, or do we want to defer that pleasure and by putting it away and saving up and investing it, and that will grow and that will build. And then when we want to buy a house someday, when we want to do other things with our life, then we'll be able to have a nice nest egg to someday be able to enjoy that money. I'll give you a very extreme example. And there's a lot of mussar that's involved in this, and I'm not sure how many people follow this, and it's been a very big topic of conversation lately. I was just at a chasna and around the table. This was the talk. There's something called cryptocurrency, which is, I don't really understand it. I don't understand, what it's all about. I understand a stock. I understand, you're investing in a business. It might be IBM, it might be Target, it might be Amazon. I get that. I know what an Amazon package is. Baruch Hashem, we get boxes. I mean, every day we have boxes coming to the house. And, you know, I once told Rabbi Zlatowitz that, Olav Shalom, the arts girl, you know, I don't know how we were talking, but like I said, we have Bak Siyami every single day. My wife, Baruch Hashem, the kids, they get, you know, they all put it in Yitzi's name, so I don't get upset at anyone else. But, and we get Bak Siyami. Rabbi Zlatowitz was like laughing. He thought it was hysterical. But I understand what Amazon does. I understand what Target does. I understand I understand. I don't know what crypto is. I don't understand exactly what you're putting your money into it. It's just something that is out there. It's a thing. It's something that it's a currency that you could use. That's I don't know exactly understand. I just know that people that invested very early into it are extremely, extremely happy that they did. There's a story about a guy who in 2010, May 22nd, 2010, he owned Bitcoin. Now, Bitcoin today, for one Bitcoin, it's $100,000, give or take, on the market. That's how much it costs. Years ago, when I first heard about Bitcoin, it was $10,000. I thought that was meshuggah. Now it like went up to $100,000. But in 2010, if a person would have spent, if he would have, you know, a Bitcoin, one Bitcoin wasn't $100,000. It wasn't $10,000. It wasn't even $100. It was 0.004 cents. It's ridiculous. So a person could have theoretically bought, you know, for $1,000, he could have gotten, you know, a million bitcoins. A million bitcoins today would be, $10 billion maybe. Crazy. For $1,000 invested in 2010, meaning Yitzi was born in 2010. I'm thinking like after the bris, after those bagels, I would have just gone and found some guy selling Bitcoin. It would be a different story for me today. So there was a guy in 2010 who he somehow got his hands on 10,000 bitcoins. It was worth, that was $41 at the time. I think it was, yes, I don't know, whatever the math was, but let's say it's 0.041 cents, or maybe it's 41, I don't know what it was. I think it was 0.041 cents, maybe even less. So he went online and he says, I have 10,000 bitcoins. He says, but no one ever actually used bitcoins to buy something, to buy a normal good and service. Says no one even tried it out. It's just such a foreign thing. Like, it's not a dollar, it's not a pound, it's not a shekel, it's a bitcoin. Like, what is it? It's some cyber currency. And he says, if somebody wants to deliver to me two pizzas, I'll give them 10,000 bitcoins. And there was a guy that says, fine, I'll do it. So he transferred 10,000 bitcoins to this guy, and there was a delivery from a Papa John's, a pizza chain, two pizza pies. He has pictures of, he was so happy. The guy was so happy that somebody was able to take his bitcoins, and actually he was able to get two pizza pies for 10,000 bitcoins. He thought he was a genius. And at the time, those bitcoins were worth about $41. Today, those bitcoins will be worth over $1 billion. 10,000 bitcoins is a little bit over $1 billion for two pizzas, which is crazy, right? I mean, now they interview this guy all the time. There's something called Bitcoin Pizza Day, that they celebrate this as like a big thing, that because it was a historic thing that somebody actually bought something with Bitcoin. Today you could buy a car with Bitcoin. You could do a lot of things with Bitcoin, I guess. But at the time, there was no one knew what it was, and no one did anything with it. So this is like a big, it's like a national holiday that Bitcoin Pizza Day is like the day that somebody actually used Bitcoin to buy pizza. And this is like, they attribute this to when it all started, when Bitcoin actually became a zach that you can, you know, trade with. So then it became a big thing. He doesn't have any charata, this guy, by the way. They interview him. He says, at the time, it was worthless. At the time, I was so happy to get two pizza pies, you know, for, he said, it doesn't bother you that you gave up $1 billion for the pizza? He says, no, because at the time, like, he doesn't have a Yiddish cup. He has the right ashkafas, but like he doesn't think like a Jew. Like a Jew is like, what, you know, he wouldn't be able to breathe. Like, what did I do? But there's so much mussar, I think, that comes this. I could have used this by Esav with the Nizid Adashim, you know, how you give up the Bukhaira for the for a little lentil soup. You gave up a maluch, you gave up everything for a little instant gratification. But the takeaway that I want to discuss today is how, imagine if we could go back in time. Imagine if we can go back in time and be able to go back to 2010 and be able to buy, and we know, let's say, that this has potential. And I offer it to you. So now you had a choice. You know, you can take me up on the offer or not. Now, it wasn't a sure thing at the time. Obviously, nobody knew what it was. And you wouldn't want to give up $1,000. But the returns that people made, the people that have it, and there's all types of other stories. There's so much mussar in Bitcoin. It's an amazing thing. There's a guy who, he had, I think they used to come on like a hard drive or a flash drive, the Bitcoins. They were stored. It was like, and you need a combination. Today you could, I think, just buy it on an exchange. But then you had to like actually get a physical drive with it in it. And there was a guy who has it, but he forgot the password. Can you imagine? It's worth about $800 million, I think, of Bitcoins on this hard drive. But he can't figure out. You get 10 tries. And if you don't get it in 10 tries, then that's it. It just goes dead and you don't have anything. He tried 8 different combinations so far. And there's companies that are working around the clock to try to figure out how to crack the code. And it's a whole deal. You know, another guy lost a hard drive. His girlfriend, his wife threw it out or something. He knows which landfill it's in, and he's suing the municipality that he wants to dig up this whole landfill because there's, again, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. At the time, it was worth nothing. And the point that I want to take from this is that in life, there are investments that we make, and we have to invest wisely, because if we invest wisely, then these investments could yield us billions of dollars for every penny, a penny to $1 billion. That's how life is. Life is about investing. And if we're investing in our time, our efforts, our resources, and things that are great investments, then we will be happy with the returns. If we're like Esav and we're just like running away from the investments and saying, I don't want the shtar chayv, I don't want to give up this instant gratification of my life right now. I want a chaperein, I want to live a geshmaka life, I want the pizzas, I'm going to forego the bitcoins because I want pizza. So then that's fine, enjoy the pizza, but you're not going to get the full return. Yaakov Inu was able to invest in the Bris Ben Absarim, and Yaakov Inu got Eretz Yisrael, Ladar Daris. He got the Tyre Ladar Daris. That's much bigger than a $1 billion return. That's a return that we can never, ever quantify. The Chavis HaVavis writes that when a person is able to work on himself, when a person is able to just work on himself, which is great, Halavai, we should work on ourselves, and we daven, and working on our Yerushalayim, working on our Shmir Seinayim, and working on our Liman HaTayr, our Hasmada, our Yegia, our Chazara, our Ben Adm Chavera, when we're able to do that, that's an amazing thing, and though this that we're doing, every word of Tayra is a Bitcoin, it's a Bitcoin. You're saying one word of Torah, every word of Torah the Vilna Gaon says is a mitzvah b'fnei atzmai, that's in Shamayim worth billions of dollars. We don't believe it. We don't understand it. We think, come on. Every single word of Torah that we learn is Talmud Torah K'nei Kulam. It's 613 mitzvahs, every word of Torah, says the Chafetz Chaim. And the Chafetz Chaim said that Torah that we learn on Shabbos, because Shabbos is also Shkula K'nei Kulam mitzvahs, is 613 times 613. Every word of Torah that you learn is 613 squared. Whatever that is. How much is that? Anyone know? Come on, come on.
It's like 37,000.
No. Much more than that.
No, 600 times 600.
613 times 613.
375,000.
What?
375,000.
375,000 mitzvahs. Every word that we learn on Shabbos. This is what the Chafetz Chaim does. So imagine if we sit and learn just an hour on Shabbos. I don't know what that would be, but it would probably be, you know, millions, hundreds of millions of mitzvahs. That's a great return. That's just me learning. Says the Chavis Havavis. He says, if you're able to go and not just learn by yourself, but let's say you pull somebody else in with you. You learn with a chavrusa, or you give a shir on Shabbos to 10 guys. Now the return is really getting interesting. Now the numbers, if you thought that the numbers of one word of Torah alone is amazing for you, imagine if you're able to spread Torah to much further places. Imagine if you're able to give a shir online and it goes viral and now thousands of people are watching it. Every mitzvah, every word that you're learning and you're teaching is spreading virally and you're getting that many more mitzvahs. You're getting billions and trillions of mitzvahs. And he says this is why you have to focus on Kirov and going out and outreach and helping other people, because when you're able to help affect change in other people as well as you, now the dividends are la'ilamim. Let's say I'm makari of one person and this person becomes from because of me and he gets married because of me by extension and he has children and these children are from and all the mitzvahs that are accruing, Ladardar is the great-great-great-grandchildren in 1,000 years from now, all because of me. That's with one person on Makarev. Let's say on Makarev 10, 100, 1,000 people. And there have been people in recent history that have been Makarev tens of thousands of people. It's very hard to quantify that investment. And it's hard, Kirov is hard, going out to help other people is hard, but it's a brilliant investment strategy. The Chafetz Chaim used to say, there was a person that came to the Chafetz Chaim and he was in fundraising. Fundraising is a very underappreciated profession. There's a lot of jobs available because the hardest thing to do, to go to somebody else and try to get money out of them for yeshiva, for an organization, for a shul, it's very hard to raise money. It's very hard. It's very distressful. It's very, it's difficult and you get very depressed because people turn you down. You feel rejection. It's a very difficult profession being a fundraiser. And there was a person that was a fundraiser for yeshiva and he said, you know what? I want to be a malamed. Instead of being a fundraiser and supporting, you know, a whole huge yeshiva, I want to just be a Rebbe in a classroom. I'll have 5-10 kids and I'll teach them. That's more gratifying. He went to the Chafetz Chaim for his blessing. The Chafetz Chaim says, you know, there's a shoemaker. A shoemaker is a guy, a cobbler. He makes his own shoes. Okay, he goes, he has to take the leather and he has to sew up the leather and then put a sole on top under it and make sure that it's watertight and he has to seal it. He has to make everything perfect. How much does a shoemaker make? He says he makes about 7 rubles for a pair of shoes. It's nice money. Says there's a guy that owns a factory, and the factory employs immigrants, and they're able to produce a shoe, and he makes 5 rubles a shoe, not 7 rubles a shoe, but 5 rubles a shoe after all the expenses. V'chule says, but who would you rather be? Would you rather be the shoemaker who's making 7 rubles, but it takes him like 2 weeks to make a pair of shoes? Or would you rather be the guy who owns the factory that makes shoes? He's only making 5 rubles per shoe, but he's making hundreds of shoes a day. which is you're making a little bit, you know, less money per shoe, but you're making a killing on the whole. The Chafetz Chaim says, when you are going to be a malamid in a classroom, that's great. And you'll have seat book and it'll be geschmack. But when you're a fundraiser and you're raising money for the entire yeshiva, maybe hundreds of boys learning and eating and sleeping and being able to shteig all because of you, that's an investment that is much greater. Now you're a factory owner. You're getting the volume of so many zchusim of people learning all because of you. And you have to weigh these things because in life, everything is that sort of investment. It's something that you have to really make a cheshbon nefesh. How am I going to maximize my returns? Sometimes there is a career guidance. I forgot what they call it, but you know they have different chaburas and they break up. Like you can, if you want to go into dentistry, so you'll have an old alumni who's a successful dentist. He'll explain to you, answer all your questions that you have, and then you'll have a guy that's interested in that's a lawyer and an accountant and a finance guy, a computer guy, and they all come and you break up into chaburas, and whatever field you're interested in, you go to that night presentation. It's very interesting. And then there's one guy who, you know, if you're interested in going to chinuch, you know, he always gets the shvachas to turn out. And somebody once told me, went to this guy, and the guy says, don't ever go into chinuch. Horrible idea. You're not making any money, and you're not going to be able to pay your bills, and the kids are chutzpahdik, and, you know, his mamish. And I got very upset hearing that, because albeit some of it is true, and the instant gratification might not always be there. It could be there, but it's not always there. And it is a difficult, difficult existence. You're not making as much money as perhaps the doctors and the lawyers and the investment bankers. But the sipuk in this world, first of all, is if you have good talmidim like Baruch Hashem I have, you know, the sipuk is amazing. And hopefully, the ROI, the return on investment from going into chinuch, is tremendous, because you're changing people's lives. You're giving hadracha to people. You're guiding them who to marry, what career to go into, where to live, what type of hashkafa to have, what type of emunah, you're a shamayim, and you're hopefully changing people's lives. You're teaching them how to learn. You're teaching them how to live. And all of that are bitcoins. You're just like grabbing bitcoins every single day. And you know something, you could do this even if you're going, this is not a pitch for going into chinuch. Chinuch, I feel, if for the right person, if you want this type of life and you're dedicated to go into chinuch, to go into kiruv, to go into, rabbanus, financially it might not be the most lucrative choice, but you're catching bitcoins. You're literally investing cheap, and the return on investment will, amir tzashem, be great. But even if you're going into any other field, there are still so many opportunities that you have to invest in things, and hopefully the dividends will be phenomenal. The tzedakah that we give, tzedakah is a very difficult mitzvah to accomplish, because it takes investment. It's an investment. I could invest today. I could, you know, either fill up a shopping cart with stuff that I want, you know, or I could give that money to tzedakah. I could invest it in a stock, in crypto, in something, or I could give it to tzedakah. It's a hard decision to make, because I don't see any return on my investment. I just see that I'm giving it to somebody else, and that's great. You have a good feeling about that, hopefully, but I don't see anything coming of the money. But the yields that we get in this world and the next world, aser b'shvil shetes asher, a person that invests money in tzedakah is the greatest investor. You're 10xing your money, your aser b'shvil shetes asher. I I once saw a speech that was given by Shlomo Yehuda Rechnitz, who was he lives out in California. He actually went to yeshiva with me. I didn't invest with him, unfortunately, but they're billionaires, maybe many times over. Him and his twin brother. They're very big. They're like 6'5", 6'6", big guys. And they started this medical supply company. And they're very, very big in California. And they're tremendous Balei Tzedakah. They give millions of dollars a year to the Mir Yeshiva and to Kamenetz Yeshiva and to all the Maestas in California, all the Maestas in Lakewood. And their name is all over the place. They give very, very super generously. And I once heard him speak, and he said, I'll tell you the trick, the secret to my investment strategy. He says, pick a number of how much you want to make this year. How much do you want to make this year? What do you have in mind to make? Let's say you say you want to make $1 million this year. He says, give $100,000 to tzedakah. I guarantee you, it's baduk umenusa, you're going to make $1 million. You're going to 10x your money. Whatever you want to make, you give that money now to tzedakah and you'll 10x your money. That's what he said. I can't say that I know about this stuff, but like he's saying if you want to make $1 billion, you give $100 million to tzedakah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you tenfold. So in this world, assuming that that's an accurate formula, in this world, the investment is great. I'd much rather give money to tzedakah than to put it in a stock that may or may not go up. But in the next world, in the future world, all the money that you have invested, if you invest in a yeshiva, all that limud haTorah accrues to you. The limud haTorah that you enabled is your limud haTorah. Chaim Volozhiner says that when you go up to Shamayim and you support a Torah, even if you yourself are not learned, but you become a Talmud Chacham in Shemayim. He says, because otherwise, it's Gehenim. If you're sitting at a table with Talmud Chacham and they're all talking and learning, and you don't know anything of anything, so that's not fun. That's not paradise. That's the opposite. It's like you feel I have nothing to contribute to this conversation. You get mamish to be a Talmud Chacham. You know all the Rebbe Akiva Eiger's. You know all the Ketzais. You know all the Nesivas. You know all the Rashbas. And you're able to talk and learn. Chaim Volozhiner said that he once spoke to a Baal HaBas who was nifter, and this is a Baal HaBas that he encouraged to give a lot of money to Torah, to tzedakah, to yeshiva. And a few days after this Baal HaBas was nifter, Chaim Volozhiner was having a very difficult time with a certain sugya that he was learning, and this Baal HaBas came to him in a dream a few days after he died. And he spoke to him and learned, and he clarified the whole sugya for him. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner said that he wasn't surprised that he was such a Talmud Chacham, because this is what he always was telling people in the Vilna Gaon. I think he used to say this, but he was surprised how quickly it happened. It didn't take, he didn't have to go to yeshiva even to learn. It just like, boom. So you have like an amazing return on your investment in terms of the next world. You become a Talmud Chacham up there. You have all that schus, all of that factory, you're a factory owner. You invested in Torah, you invested in a kailal, and now that whole kailal is learning and learning and learning. All those words of Torah, all the schusim, all the kedusha accrues to the person who was smart enough to invest in it. You give it to a Beis Yaakov, you give it to a yeshiva katani, you give it to a cheder, you give it to a building a mikvah, you give it to a shul. All the tefillas, all the schusim, all the mitzvahs that come from these things, an organization, you give it to organizations that are doing wonderful things, you give it to HASC, you give it to OL, you give it to Chai Lifeline, you give it all these organizations doing amazing things. Those schusim, you can't describe the return. You feel good in this world, but the next world you're going to see like, this was the Bitcoin investment of my life. You'll be so happy with that investment because it's the numbers get crazy. Just like the Bitcoin numbers that I'm describing are insane. I could have bought at Yitzi's Bris, for $1,000. I could have been the richest man in the world today. And that's baffling if you start thinking about that. it's much more baffling the return that we would get by every dollar that we give to tzedakah. When people come to us and they ask us for money, you might not have money. You don't have money. Be nice to the person. The Gemara says that Yaisem Imasha Balabayas Aisem Ani Ani Aisem Balabayas. I don't know if it's a Gemara. It might be a Medrash. But more than the Balabayas does with an Ani, the Ani does the Balabayas. You think you're giving $100 when a guy comes to your door, you're giving $100, you think you're a big tzaddik. But you have no idea the chusim that you're getting for that money. The Ani is doing you the favor, believe it or not. You're, as much as you're doing for the Ani is doing you. What does that mean? What's he doing for me? He's giving you bitcoins for that money. You gave $100 and you're getting $100 worth of bitcoins in 2010. You're investing money in this world. Va'keren kayemes la'olam haba, the payris, the keren kayemes, is for you, and you're going to come up to your shemaim, you're going to see your bank account, and it's going to have like 100 zeros, 1,000 zeros with a number in front of it. All because you went, and you should say thank you to an ani. When an ani comes and he gives you this chus of investing with him, you should get down on your hands and knees proverbially and say, and thank him, because he's doing much more for you than you're doing for him. When you have an opportunity in life, and I know I'm talking to Bachrim, and I know Bachrim have very little opportunity, perhaps at least in terms of tzedakah. You could do personal tzedakah, you can learn with people, you can give shiurim, you can spread Torah in different ways, but in terms of money, in terms of investing, you might not have any money. That's okay. And mitzvah Hashem, this shmuz then is not for today. It's going to be for when you're my age, when you're your parents' age, when your older brother's age. But this is a shmuz for the rest of our lives. That, and I'm talking to myself also, to remember the power of investing. To remember that everything we do, when we choose to do one thing over another, we're investing. We're choosing our time. What are we doing with our time? Are we learning in our spare time and racking up, you know, bitcoins, or are we doing something that's shtusim? We're watching YouTube a whole for that time. You know, sleep is good. If you're going to sleep and you're doing l'shem shemayim, that's very, very good also. You're eating, that's important to eat. It's important to play ball. This isn't, but and if you're doing things l'shem shemayim, the bitcoins are adding up for that also. But you have to invest your time. Time is the most precious and valuable resource that we have. And we have to make sure to utilize our time wisely and spend it on things that we should be spending it on. Limud HaTorah, Asiyas HaMitzvos, Yiras Shamayim, Musar, Chesed. These are things that we don't realize in this world. We think that people that are learning, they're not having geshmak in life. They're giving up on their Eilam Hazeh for some random Eilam Abba that we don't know. It's not true. They're enjoying this world, and they'll be enjoying the next world so much more. Rav Aaron Cutler used to give mussar to his balabatim, and he would tell them that, you know, if you, like what we're saying, you invest in this world in Torah, you'll be a Talmud Chacham in the next world, you'll be unbelievable in the next world. So, and then one time he called over a very rich balabas that gave a lot of money to Maestas HaTorah, and he said to him, I'd like you to learn a little bit more. I don't feel you're learning enough. You know, make a seder every morning, learn a little bit more. He says, Mechilas Kveder Rosh Shiva, you say that if I invest my money in Torah, I'll be a big Talmud Chacham in the next world. I'll get a beautiful Eilam Abba. So why do I need to learn in this world? Why do I need to learn? I'm just going to go to business and work and work and work and make more money, and I'll support Torah with that money. It should be much, it's a much better. He says, it's true. So everything you just said is true. He says, I'm not worried about your Eilam Haba. Your Eilam Haba is secure. He says, I'm worried about your Eilam Hazeh. How do you, you're not enjoying your Eilam Hazeh because you're not learning. Learning is something that is so geschmack in this world. And the Keren Kayemes is Eilam, it's a win-win. The people that you see, and maybe it's you, that are sitting and learning and steiging all day and into the night, you're enjoying that time, hopefully. And even if you're not enjoying it, you will enjoy it. The more comfortable, the more fluent you'll be with the way of the rhythm of Torah. But you will be enjoying this world, and you'll have the next world as well. Esav gave up the next world and this world for a little nezid adashim, for a little pizza, for a little, he didn't want to invest, he didn't want to put the time and the effort into the Bris Ben Absarim, that shtar chayv, so he punted and he lost Eretz Yisrael forever and ever. Yaakov Avinu chose wisely, he invested, it was a big investment, and it took Shvitz and it took Mesiras Nefesh to be able to make the decision to take the shtar chayv of Kigeri Yezerecha Beretz Leilam. But because of that, the schus is Aymedes La'ad, the schusim that he has for the investment that he made, he's the happiest person in the world. Baruch Hashem, look at the ROI. Look at the return on investment that I have in Eretz Yisrael. I have Tyra. All for this investment. It was a small investment. It was a hard investment. But the dividends paid off big. And this is how we should look at everything in our life. Look at it. I'm investing my time, my resources, my schwitz, my ambitions. I'm investing in this world. Let me figure out the best way to invest. I need an investment strategy. I want to be able to have this world and I have the next world, but to maximize the numbers, to be able to get multiples on my investment, which is done by Liman HaTorah for myself, and then spreading it, being able to be a Marbitz Torah, to whether it's by being a Rebbe in Yeshiva, by giving a Daf Yomi Shiur as a Balabayas or as a Rebbe, or being able to be a president of an organization that's spreading goodness. But all these things are ways that you're able to take a small amount of investment, a small expenditure, and make it into something that is beyond. And that's what Yaakov Avinu did in Maisa Bism Labanim. We should, Emirtz Hashem, invest wisely, invest well, and be zeicha to see the fruits of our investments, b'zeh u'beba. Have a beautiful Shabbos.